This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
3 o'clock hour. Hockman and Crowder program.
Thought we were boys.
What happened?
You tried to embarrass me in front of Coach L.
You flat out lied to him about your carb intake.
I don't try to eat carbs.
That's not what you said.
Then you're going to tell him about my candy problem. I gave him the diabetes joke. He didn't laugh. Man, y'all embarrassed me last segment.
Ridiculous. Guy's walking around. He's 40-something years old. He's got Fun Dip, gummy bears. He's got French fries coming out of his pockets. And then he's out here spouting off about, oh, I'm on the caveman diet. Caveman diet's like raw fish and a head of lettuce. So far.
Maybe some candy every now and again. they had craisins. What is it?
Me want Twix bar. My caveman sounds strikingly like Frankenstein.
What Twix bar? Hey man, don't embarrass me in front of important people, man. That was too much.
Somebody emailed Ira Winderman at the Sun Sentinel. What stood out to you most about Wednesday's exit interviews? I thought it was handled well. And Ira said, and this is just to revisit a conversation we were having with Solana yesterday about who was there, who wasn't there. Ira said, to me, it was the three who declined interviews. Someone said, you know, what stood out most to you? To me, it was the three who declined interviews, which totally was their right during the optional media session. But it also just happens that Andrew Wiggins, Duncan Robinson, and Terry Rozier also will be among the most significant Heat decisions this offseason. Again, is Andrew Wiggins a contract to be dangled in a trade or a component going forward? Will the Heat pick up the guarantee on Duncan Robinson's full contract? And what will happen going forward to Terry Rozier after his struggles this past season? Not sure any of the three could have had much to say until they hear from what Heat management has to say.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday. It was interesting. But I think what Ira's saying there is those three, I'm kind of taking it as those three aren't going to be back. And so if you're not going to be back, the way I feel is Wiggins has to get dealt. If they're making any kind of moves, Wiggins' contract has to be part of it. Probably Duncan's as well, although I think they can just outright waive him, which is what he suggested in another Ask Ira column. And then Terry Rozier, I mean, I don't know what the market is there for Terry Rozier, but I can't imagine him being in a Heat uniform again next season.
Hawk, don't let his past get him in the locker room. Don't let him not even locker room, Hawk. I don't want Terry to get in the parking lot. Turn him around. Terry Rozier can't be here. Terry got to be gone.
You gotta go.
You gotta go. Just don't even come back around us. Burn your cleats. We don't need you anymore. I don't know if Wiggins, like we were just talking about with LeBron, what is LeBron on a championship team? Wiggins is not a one or a two on a championship team.
One or a two. Is he a three? I think is more of the question.
And the same thing with Hero and Bam. What is Bam on a championship? Honestly, is Bam a two? Giannis and Bam, that's a championship 1-2? I don't know.
It's formidable. Is it a championship 1-2? I don't know.
And I think that's where Pat and his Pat, and we talked about it yesterday, Pat's in his older age, is now he's going to do another rebuild, because after what we saw against the Cavs, the number one seed, the team 1 or 2, them or Boston coming out the East, we see our deficiencies now against the championship teams. This is a rebuild, even if they don't want to call it that. Is Pat ready for this rebuild? Because we have to bring more talent in. That it's funny. Jim Larrañaga say he's Jim. Coach L talks nicely, but he was like, there are times when you see talent deficiencies when you're watching a series. We were talent deficient in this last series.
It's funny that you say that. I was going to ask him, because I've asked several people, like, the whole Heat culture thing, is that overblown or can that be a component? And his answer about there were talent deficiencies led me to believe that that's the answer to that question. You can have all the culture that you want. If you don't have enough talent out there, Heat culture, Heat DNA, Eric Spoelstra, like, they can't make magic happen. They can't turn, you know, chicken bleep into chicken salad. Yes. It's happened at times. There's been games or moments or even seasons, half seasons. Remember the half season with Deion Waiters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are times, but when you get down to it, like, it was impossible to overcome what Cleveland was throwing at you. Now, could they have looked a little more, I don't know, into it? Maybe, because they didn't look into it. But you weren't overcoming that talent disparity.
No, and they tapped out game four. They tapped out. They didn't want to play any more basketball. Actually, Kajana Carter texted me after the show, and he was listening. He was like, why are y'all wasting time breaking down what happened to the Heat? They did not want to play in game four. They didn't want that. They didn't want that smoke anymore, losing, like you said, I think it was 33-72 at one point. Like, they don't want to play this basketball game anymore. But the culture means something when there's talent behind it. It's like guys that wouldn't, to your point, wouldn't quote-unquote fit Heat culture. James Harden.
Right.
Would we not lose by 55, 21, and 30 if we had James Harden on that court? I think we would have been a little closer.
Right.
Without the culture.
So it's right. The Heat culture, all that stuff, it's a component, but it's a small component when compared to the actual talent that you have out on the court, which, again, it's not revelatory. I think we all know that, but I don't think we all knew exactly the dearth of talent on this roster. I think we were maybe fooled. You know, Larrañaga said it. They had the 10-game losing streak, and we were kind of convinced that that is who the team is. Then they went like 8-2 in that final 10, and then beat Chicago on the road, beat Atlanta on the road to get into the playoffs. And maybe we started to delude ourselves that that was actually the team, that they were like the Panthers, playing possum a little bit, and now you get to see postseason Heat. But obviously that all came crashing to a halt during the Cleveland series.
And the Cleveland series showed me, honestly, that you can totally delete Tyler Hero from a game. Where even last night, the Lakers tried to take Anthony Edwards out of the game. They, blitzed him, double. Every time he touched the ball, there were two guys on him. And he just kept making the right pass and getting it to his guys and going down low. Like, that's how it was supposed to look. Tyler had 4-1-1 in a 50-point loss, and he's supposed to be your offensive man. Like, that was troubling. Bam with his 14-point, 11-point games when we have no offensive guys out there. Duncan's not making a damn shot. Like, Cleveland, a top team, showed us a lot about ourselves. But the most puzzling thing was that I've seen a team choke Tyler Hero to death for 48 minutes, and that's concerning to me.
You mentioned Anthony Edwards. what do you do if you're Rob Pelinka and the Lakers? You go, we traded for Luka. We have, you know, ostensibly one of the three biggest stars in the league. We have LeBron. We went out and got J.J. Redick as our head coach. We got rid of Anthony Davis. Funny how this whole conversation has turned to where, like, what are the Lakers going to do? Because the conversation was the exact opposite. But what do you do if you're the Lakers? You can't tell me that a Luka, and LeBron's only getting older.
Yeah.
You can't tell me a Luka team can be a first round exit team. So what do you do?
You have to
get more pieces.
You have to. JJ Redick, two games in a row in the second half, looked down his bench and said, there's nobody down there that's going to turn this game around that can help us win.
I'm just watching a stat right now on ESPN. The Lakers averaged 17 points in the fourth quarter in the first round. So he ran his team into the ground. They were only able to put up 17 points on average in the fourth quarter. But kind of to what Jim Larrañaga was saying, if you look down the bench and you don't feel like there's anyone else that can help you get over that hump, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But that's the thing. Does J.J. Redick not know how to utilize guys' skill sets, or did Rob Pelinka not give him enough food in the kitchen to make a good meal? That's really the question.
But if I'm Pelinka, I go, well, how much food do you need? I'm giving you LeBron and Luka burgers. Like, how much food do you need?
And LeBron is down low with Rudy Gobert fighting off a 7-foot
man. Rudy Gobert monster. Had a game.
27, Hawk. I'm a LeBron fan of basketball. I'm not a LeBron fan as a person because I think he's soft and he flops and all that crap. I felt sorry for LeBron last night when he was down there getting bowled in the back of the head by Rudy Gobert. LeBron shouldn't be down there with this monster. Why don't you have a monster on this team that can fight a monster? It's Steven Adams. He's the same way. When anybody gets in the paint with Steven Adams, I'm like, don't go down there. All you're going to do is get
embarrassed. You don't want to do that.
Just let him get this rebound because it's gonna hurt when you get down there. Rudy Gobert is the same way. LeBron should not be down there wrestling the monsters.
Oh, speaking of French fries and your secret French fry habit, Mike Cugno is going to join us this hour. He is so lucky the Panthers won yesterday, because if they didn't win, we'd have blamed him for not eating French fries, even with all the public pressure he was getting. So he's going to join us this hour, and we will talk about what transpired yesterday. Let's get headlines with Dan Day, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Official score of the
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Panthers Lightning game last night was 6-3. The Cats now await the winner of the Toronto Maple Leafs Ottawa Senators series. Those teams, they play tonight at 7 with Toronto up 3-2.
Yeah, so funny little factoid, the Panthers played, I think, because their first game was on a Tuesday, and I think the Toronto-Ottawa series started on a Saturday, right, or a Sunday? So they've been playing longer, and the Panthers had plenty of rest leading up to this series, and the Panthers will have more rest after this series than either Toronto or Ottawa. So it's all working out in the Panthers' favor right now. But man, if I'm a hockey team in the East or even the West, I am not looking forward to having to go up against that Panthers team.
Big dog. They the big dog.
They are the big dog.
It's funny, one of the last teams to start the playoffs, one of the first teams to finish the first round.
Yeah. I mean, they just, you know, again, gentlemen sweep, but really had no problem with Tampa. Game tonight, Senators are a minus 120 favorite. Maple Leafs are even money. And again, best scenario for Panthers and Panthers fans, Senators win tonight. They have to go to a game 7. There's more rest for the Panthers and less rest for either of those two teams.
And I love that we gentlemen swept them while getting Hagel back. So now the teams are looking like, don't go pick on none of our good guys because we're going to knock your ass to sleep.
Ekblad will still be out, though, right? He'll be out. He'll miss the first game of the next series because he got a 2-game suspension. So he'll miss the first game of the next series.
We're putting the hammer on y'all.
Oh, you listen, I don't think they even needed to let people know. You just have to look up and down that bench and you see Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand. I mean, come on.
Just come play a little hockey. Don't start no foolishness because we're with all the foolishness.
With all the foolishness. That should be on their jerseys. All the foolishness.
It's like that guy. I'm not afraid to go to jail. I'm not afraid to sit down. You're like, okay,
okay. This is what you want to do? We can go right there with you.
They'll skate right to the bench. They go, these guys are down with the foolishness.
I love being a fan of a team like that. I swear to goodness, I love it.
It is fun.
Jimmy Butler had 8 points last night as Golden State fell to the Rockets, 131-116. That series now 3-2 in favor of the Warriors.
That one shocked me as well. I thought the Lakers would win last night. I thought Golden State would close it out last night.
Tonight you get
Jimmy didn't look healthy.
Nah,
even though we hate
off.
Him. Something was off last night, yeah.
Tonight you get Knicks Pistons at 7:30, New York 3-2 in that series. And at 10 o'clock you get Coach L going to be watching Nuggets Clippers with Denver up 3-2.
Yeah, the lines on those games, by the way, I was just looking at them. In case you feel like dabbling, Crowder's on a heater. The Knicks tonight are 1.5-point dogs in Detroit. And the Clippers are 6-point favorites at home hosting Denver. I'd like to see both those series go to a 7th game. I just think it would be fun.
I might go Denver.
Denver getting 6?
Getting 6, yeah. I wouldn't put money line, but Denver getting 6?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Tomorrow, Golden State and Houston. That's game 7 or six. That's game 6? Golden State's a 5-point favorite over Houston tomorrow night.
Yeah, because they'll be
and then
home.
Round 2. You have Cleveland and the Pacers. You want to guess what the line is? Game 1, round 2, Cleveland hosting Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers.
Ooh, Cleveland.
And Tyrese Halliburton's dad.
How did that dude make Tyrese Halliburton?
Did you see the interview with him?
I did see the interview. He's 5'1".
Right. I had the same feel. I had the same thought when I watched him. I'm like, how did you make such a prolific scorer?
you might. Well, don't get a DNA test now. Your son made it. Leave it alone. Cleveland. Oh, and Indiana can run. Cleveland favored by 5?
8.
8?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm jaded, but I'll take Cleveland in later points. They look real good.
I mean, they looked so good against the Heat. The question is just how bad were the Heat in that series?
Yeah. Man, live bet. That's a live bet game.
Yeah. Give me that line down to like 3.
That's a live bet.
North Dakota State running back Sharmar Brown is transferring to the U. Last year, he won the Jerry Rice Award, which is given to Division II's best freshman.
Oh, all right. Back him up, Mario.
There we go.
Hawk, you know about this one. Inter-Miami got mauled by Vancouver 3-1 last night. They were eliminated from CONCACAF Champions Cup play. They returned to MLS play Saturday, 7:30 against the New York Red Bulls.
It was a beautiful night at Chase Stadium, and it started with an Inter-Miami goal, and we thought we were on the road to something exciting, and it petered out very quickly. I did, though, run into a very famous father of a famous tight end for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm.
Rondé Gadsden was there last night watching a little footy with me and Whittingham and Appel. And it was nice to see a Rondé after we had had a great moment with him on the show yesterday. So Rondé's on the show with us talking about what it was like to watch his son get drafted. And then he's like, here, talk to him yourself. He's in the car with me. And we had that nice little conversation with OG the second.
So you, OG, Witty, and Appel.
Hmm.
That's why they lost.
He looked up.
Here's some foursome. What are you talking about?
Is this our fan base? Oh, and the Dolphins.
Some delicious scran, though. Delicious scran in the Northwest Club.
They have good food at down there?
In the club I was in, they had very good food, but it's all you can eat, all you can drink. Here's the only thing that I take issue with. This is shocking to me. I can't get a Coke or a Pepsi. You can only get Poppy. You ever seen those Poppies?
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good.
They're very good. And again, in the club, everything's free. Beer's free. Everything is free in the club that we were in. Food's free. They have the best brownies I've ever had in my life. I'm not even a brownies guy. The best brownies I've ever eaten in my life. But I'm dying for a Coke and even a Pepsi. I don't even like Pepsi. I just want a cola. Go to the bar where they have mixed drinks. Can I get a cola back here? You cannot.
Poppy doesn't have a cola?
No.
Ooh.
No. The only thing they had was like, it was like a black cherry, rosé something. It was very, again, very good.
Yeah.
It really tastes like a soda. I guess it is a soda, essentially.
Well, it's low calorie, like probiotics and all. It's supposed to be healthier.
But sometimes you just need an icy cold Coke Zero.
Well, sponsorships.
Well, that's the thing. They obviously have a big sponsorship with Poppy and some other drinks. But, I mean, nary a Coke in the stadium?
Yeah. I've told people I don't drink anything but Jack Daniels before. You know that's a lie.
New segment, Crowd or Lie.
Crowd or Lie.
Listen, give me a check. I told you, I will MC a KKK rally for enough money.
On to weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com.
Say goodnight, Gracie. Good night.
How y'all doing out there tonight? Everybody okay?
You look great. It's going to be cloudy the rest of the day and rainy the rest of the week, and that is your weather.
All right. Mike Cugno is going to join us in the next segment. We will talk some French fries and hockey and football, basketball, whatever you want to talk about. Mike Cugno will join us in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Sour Queen.
Hawk and Crowder.
Mike Cugno is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Mike Cugno, noted French fry hater, the sports anchor and reporter at CBS Miami, and you see him nationally on CBS Sports HQ. So Cugno visited us Monday when we were at the Amerant Bank Arena for the Panthers game. And while he was there, Chrissy Parente brought over a Zamboni, like a souvenir Zamboni filled with chicken tenders and fries, and we bullied Cugno into having one French fry. He is notoriously healthy.
Yes.
His Super Bowl, you know, crazy Super Bowl spread is granola. It's not even a joke.
It's not.
Not even a joke.
Wheat thins.
When he's told us this, when he's in a crazy mood, he will have salt-free Wheat Thins.
Ooh.
Guy's an idiot. I'm just teasing, Cunha. So,
was it a visit or a hostage situation? That's what it felt like.
So you had the French fry, and then the Panthers went out, and they had this incredible comeback. And so yesterday on the show, you know, I was kind of thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? Sports has a lot to do with superstition. Mm-hmm. And Cunha, the last game, ate a French fry. Panthers, incredible comeback. And so we were imploring our listeners to tweet you or reach out to you in any way that they had the ability to do so and implore you to eat a French fry yesterday. And you declined, even in the face of public pressure, correct?
That's right. I'm a man of principle. Chrissy, by the way, got some angry text messages from me. I was sending her screen grabs of all the things I got. And you know what? My meal of grilled chicken and mashed sweet potatoes is now the game-winning meal for the Florida Panthers because look at that. They went on the road and won 6-3. So, everyone, mashed potatoes and chicken. That's it.
Were you sweating it out when they were down? Because you knew that you were going to just get lambasted on this particular show if the Panthers ended up losing last night.
I sent you a text yesterday, and I edited it and deleted it. So there's just like this empty bubble in your text.
In my chat with you.
Well, that read originally, if you can get Paul Maurice to tell me to eat a French fry, I'll eat an entire bucket. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to play this game because you will make it happen. And I refuse to be bullied by Paul Maurice. So, yeah.
That's funny, man.
My God. Are you, because you cover a lot of sports, are you superstitious? If the Heat win, if the Panthers win, will you do something?
Yeah, I'm the one where, like, if my wife gets up off the couch in the middle of a game and it's going good, I yell at her. I'm like, what are you doing? do you want a divorce? Like, do we have to play this game again? You know who I am. Sit back down. So, yeah, I am.
Solana did that once with his now fiance, Valentina, back when the Heat were going, I think it was the bubble season, right? Because they weren't living together then and they weren't engaged. And Valentina, she didn't watch, you know, whatever, game two with him. And then game three, she shows up at his apartment with dinner.
Oh, no.
And he makes her leave. He didn't let her in the door.
Yeah. Well, I hope he took the meal first and said, all right, now you can leave.
Did you share with your wife though that you have a lot riding on last night's game? Like, were you tense because you were flirting with danger? You could have just eaten a French fry on video, and you would have avoided any kind of confrontation at the end. Did you let people know that this was a very, very serious situation for you?
No, because I'm a man, so I bottle everything up and I shove it way down deep inside somewhere and don't let people see my misery, and until it just eats me from the inside out.
That is what a man does. Good for you.
A man. Yes.
I prescribe to that. The same way.
I got these ulcers.
How were the Panthers? Crowder and I have talked about this. How were they able to so easily dispose of the Lightning? This Lightning team is really good. And the Panthers, aside from the one hiccup, really had no problems.
I think everyone just kind of forgot who the Panthers were going into just in general. Like, they won the Stanley Cup last year. They're not the team that goes out and scores a bunch of points. The style of hockey they play is hard, and it's hard to do that over a season. So you're going to get some lulls. And certainly towards the end of the season, you know, the Panthers had their ups and downs. But I think the goal was you stick with your style of hockey. You hope you're healthy. And now you have to hope, well, now, not that you hope, but now it's up to teams who are playing against you to bring their game up to what you play in the postseason. And so it was amazing to see how so many of, you know, the experts got this wrong because of that. And I think it is maybe a little bit of, I don't want to say fatigue, but look, the Panthers have made two very deep runs these last couple of seasons. And at some point, it has to end. but the Lightning were playing great. And so it almost felt like maybe that was the perfect storm for things to happen. You know, Kachuk's injury was a question mark. Aaron Ekblad was going to be out for a couple of games because of that suspension, and this game suspended again. Marshawn, it took him a little while to get going with the Caps because he came over with an injury. So there was all these kind of things just kind of meeting in the middle at this one particular time of year, and I think it cast a lot of doubt. But then the Panthers just remind everyone, mate, we played this tough style all year, including in the playoffs, and you don't let up. And so now it's up to teams to kind of rise up. So I guess shame on us for thinking maybe they wouldn't have answered this bell, but here they are. And I think they reminded everyone of that. And I think that kind of takes a little bit of the playoff fear away from Panther fans. And now cocky Panther fan is back like you've never seen, because you just took out the Bolts in five games. And I loved seeing how many Panther fans were actually at Amalie Arena last night. I thought that was so cool. The broadcast kept showing them.
And yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Toronto, Ottawa, whoever comes out, like, we have to be cocky. I hate this fear of every damn team in the league every time we play a series, Mike. But, should we, when the little meme of the little guy tipping his hat in New York, like, we're talking about where Sam Bennett had the nights off. I feel like they held out longer than he needed to be held out and get Marchant time to get healthy, and everybody was worried about the end of the season losses and all. And everybody, Hawk and I talked about this, everybody we talked to was like, just calm down, watch when the playoffs start, and then you go out there and just embarrass the Tampa Bay Lightning. Should we not overlook that they were resting guys to get ready to play the Paul Ball, strong defense, physical game that they knew they were going to see when the playoffs start?
Right. Well, Kachuk's injury, I think we all know that was a little bit more serious than they probably would have liked coming out of the Four Nations. And then, they get benefited by that rule where long-term IR allows you to go out at the trade deadline and get guys like Brad Marchand onto the roster. That certainly helps. You don't want to be too cocky, I think, in the playoffs. And I was joking a little bit there because NHL playoffs are a funny game. The bounce of a puck goes one way or the other, and that can completely change a series. But I think you have to just give Paul and even Bill Zito credit because of those moves they made at the trade deadline. Look, game four, I'm not sure if they win it without Seth Jones and Brad Marchand. So there you see the moves, and maybe the rest, maybe they gave Marchand a little bit extra time coming back. But you just wanted to see him in the lineup. The front office and the coaching staff of the Panthers, as we've learned the last 2 years under Paul Murray, 2.5 years, 3 years now, they really know what they're doing. Like, this is a unit that has timed up everything perfectly.
Let's look at the other side, because the Panthers, they, came back on Monday night and then finished it off last night, and they acquired Brad Marchand and Seth Jones, like you mentioned. Let's look at the Heat and the way they went out. They acquired Andrew Wiggins and Terry Rozier, last couple of big acquisitions from them. What do you make of the way the Heat went out in the Cavs series? Were they just out-talented, or do you think there was something more?
Yeah, look, I think at the end of the day, we probably thought that series against the Cavs would be four or five games. And even if it was a sweep, I think the expectation was at least it'd be a competitive sweep. I don't think we saw that necessarily happen, where you lose the final two games by a combined 92 points. I think that's what it ends up being. Like, it's not something crazy, but the Heat were in a tough spot. They had to move on from Jimmy Butler. Coach Spo said it yesterday. Like, there wasn't going to be anything that they did from moving on from Jimmy Butler that would have swung them from where they were, I think at the highest point, they were like the sixth seed, all the way up to the one, right? Like, they weren't going to make that leap. There is talent issues on that team. We just have to be honest. And that's why I said a couple weeks ago, came on the show where I was talking about this, is like, if this Heat team goes on some magical run and then maybe they were to upset the Cavs, but, get bounced in round two or three, it's like, just don't become emotionally invested in it, because we've seen them have these runs before and invest in teams that made you feel good for a little while, but it probably wasn't the best long-term decision. I think now they have to make those long-term decisions, no matter how tough and how difficult those are. And I think you just take a look at the core of Bam and Tyler and Jovic and all those guys and see, is this what's going to win us basketball games going into the future? And for me, I think I agree with Bam. I think changes have to happen.
And Mike, did it change your thoughts on any individual players? I said it earlier in the show where I watched them totally delete Tyler Hero from a game, 4-1-1 in game four loss, 55-point loss, like you're saying, 55-point, 37-point loss in game three. Like, did it change your thought of what any of these players are moving forward?
No, because I think, and this is all due respect to those guys, but I think we all know, like, they aren't the alpha one and 1A guy. Like, if you were to look, you know, at some other teams across the league, like a Giannis, right? CJ McCollum, like that pairing, you go, okay, that's my one, that's my two, that's my 1A or 1B, however you want to break it down. Bam and Tyler are very good players and very nice pieces, but I think there are levels to this, and there's a level above that in terms of players, and there's only so many of those guys around the league. You have to have one of those guys around the league. The Celtics have a very good core built like this. Like Jaylen Brown is an excellent, excellent number two, maybe like a high-end number two, where Tatum is one of those number one guys. And I think that's how this has to be looked at. Like, you need one of those guys, and Bam and Tyler can fit in on a winning team, but just know who they are.
How about the Dolphins, Cunha? We haven't spoken to you since the draft. Did they address everything to your satisfaction?
I like the first and second round pick. My only gripe with the draft, I would have loved to have a third round pick for them, considering the run on cornerbacks in that third round. There was 9 taken in the third round. So teams felt like somewhere in that top 100, there was guys good enough that can maybe even plug and play and start on day one. And considering they need cornerbacks, that's one where I look at, I go, did they miss something there? Did they miss an opportunity? Could they have gotten this done a different way? I don't know. I would have loved to have that third round pick there, just because you don't know what's going to happen with Jalen Ramsey, because it seems like that relationship's about to end. I just would have loved for them to get someone that may have been looked like as a potential starter at corner.
Mike, I know Kenneth Grant, how to say his name, mm-hmm. the second round pick. I don't know how to say his name. It's too long and it's Polynesian.
Jonah
I'm not
Savanaya.
Good at those.
Yep.
What is it?
Jonah Savanaya.
Savanaya. Okay, Savanaya. We need Rick Ross to do it like he did Tagovailoa, because I just need clarity. But those first, three picks, I did the math. It was 970-something pounds of man. That's mm-hmm. what I loved. Do you look at that and say they are addressing what we need? Because I know trenches, Hawk and myself talk about it. Trenches aren't sexy, but if you look at the Eagles, what they did and how they drafted, trenches are where we needed to go.
I love that aspect of it. I love that they even kind of leaned into it and drafted a guy by the name of Zeke Biggers. Like that to me was kind of like the cherry on top. It's like, yeah, guys, if you haven't gotten it by round 7, this was the route we were going. And so let me spell it out for you with our last pick. No, I think it was great. I think that's what they had to do. And I really liked those aspects of the draft. There was just that one position in need. I think you still needed to really address. And I thought maybe you could have gotten it in third round. But look, man, Kenneth Grant, that whole Michigan defense was really good. I know their record didn't maybe necessarily say it, but look how many guys got drafted off that team this year. I like those first two picks. Savanaya going from, I think he's going to go from tackle to guard. That'll be interesting to see him move there, but they liked his versatility enough to believe he can do it. So I'm really interested to see if he can be like that heir apparent to Robert Hunt.
That's what the Eagles do. They get guards at Becton. They get tackles and move them to guard because they're agile, but they're bigger than guards. And like Like, why not? Why reinvent the wheel? Let's do what the Eagles do. I want to do what the Eagles
do. Look at a winning
do.
Organization. Do what they do.
That's easy.
Hey,
it's
copycat
easy.
League. That's what they, you know, that's what the NFL has done forever. And, you know, why not? If that's what works, go do it. I just like that they made it a priority, right? And as you said, it's like 1,000 pounds between their first three picks. And I think you can't overlook that. That's not something that's just a coincidence.
You think you'll eat healthy the rest of your life? Don't you think you're annoying everyone around you?
Yeah, but I think that's part of my charm, you know, that I can annoy people. And it's like, well, what are we going to say? Don't do it. Don't eat healthy. We don't want
you to
live.
Doesn't Jen want to go out and have fettuccine Alfredo and garlic bread and a big piece of carrot cake for dessert and a couple of beers and not, you know, just her do it and you sit there and eat, you know, whatever you eat, a tomato.
Maybe carrots.
Yeah.
She can, but we'll walk home. You know what I mean? Like we'll work it off one way or another. So that's,
No, but you won't eat that. She can, but you sit there and eat a tomato.
Jenny can eat whatever she wants.
I'm not saying that she can't. I'm saying, okay. Don't you think she would like you to participate in some cheat nights?
Love.
I told you we do like the dark chocolate every once in a while. And it's not granola. It's dark it's chocolate. Trail mix, okay?
Dark chocolate, Hawk.
Dark chocolate and trail mix.
Hey, Mike, gotta ask you. It's a thing going around, and I'm on an island here with the gorilla versus 100 men.
Yeah,
I'm putting together my roster. I need to see if I need to put you on my roster or leave you off. 100 men on one gorilla. Mike, we're good. I got 99 of my friends. We're good.
You have 99 dead friends.
Put me on the roster, but let's put whoever we don't really like in that first wave, and then we got the back end. You know what I mean?
Trust like me, that second wave is going to be the bodies on top of the first wave.
By the way, 100 men are going to beat one gorilla every single time. We're going to lose some people.
No, that's ridiculous. Yes. Give them some of the people on your list, Crowder.
No, I was gonna. Now Cuno stand on the list. He was right between Myles Garrett and Max Crosby. So yes, I'm getting some dogs on this list, Mike. We good to go.
You need some of the lighter guys because I can kind of jump up, maybe climb up on him and you know kind of blind him, hold his eyes shut or something, and then while you guys work on the arms and legs.
Mike, actually, I need a guy that's gonna jam his entire arm into his mouth to choke him. Can I sign you up?
No, I'd rather do the play-by-play.
Okay, but here's my thought. Would you like my little hack? I think I may have sent it to you. I believe the only way, the absolute only chance you have of defeating this gorilla is if you really surprise him, and that's going to involve a finger or a thumb up his butt.
No. So you don't want to surprise him because a scared animal is not what you want. You don't want that kind of adrenaline. You know what I mean? You want face-to-face warfare here.
Mike, just listen to this list I got. I got Tyson Fury. I got Jokic and his two brothers. I got Nate Newton, Daniel Cormier, Tim Bowen, Steven Adams. I got Udonis Haslam, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, Jason Momoa. I got Brandon Tobin. I got Mike Cuno, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett.
Come on, man. That's not even a gentleman's sweep. Our team in four.
Are you
That's
delusional? Listen, you're a nature guy, Cuno. No. Are you delusional?
I also math. I mean, you want to play that game? How much is a one gorilla weigh compared to 100 grown men? And based
but you
on
don't
that
fight.
List,
you can't fight 100 men at once. In other
you
words,
just weigh,
you
can weigh
only,
him down.
You only have the no.
Yes.
You weigh
have
him
you ever
down.
Seen a tired silverback gorilla?
No.
Exactly. Nope. They don't get tired. They fight to the death.
But he hasn't seen me and Steven Adams run up on him. No one's seen that either.
No, I think you could have stopped at the Jokic brothers. I think we had him there. I think that was it.
I've done this. I got team head, team right arm, team left arm, team right leg, team left leg. And I have them broken down in my teams and my captains.
How long are your fingers, Mike?
I have huge hands.
All right, we're going to need you at the back end.
No, I made a mistake. Oh, I'm not even.
Mike, we're going to need you to stand right here now.
Whistling through the graveyard again.
I have no team leader for that crew, Mike. Now you have to spearhead that crew.
No, I'm out. Don't make me join Hawkside. Come on, man.
See you, Cunha. We love you.
Love you, too.
Mike Cunha from CBS 4.
How big are your fingers?
Walked right into my trap.
You are ridiculous.
You are listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Well, we love you, Moeller. And if you were in front of me, I'd give you a big hug.
Don't come near me.
Hawk and Crowder.